They be like, what it be like? Like, you already know what it is. It's your boy, Captain Light My Way. Today, I really just wanted to talk about this scripture I was reading this morning, right? And this is a very familiar scripture from Matthew 6, talking about forgiveness. It's actually from the Lord's Prayer, but I should just read it all. I don't want to go too long, but if you can just bear with me, right? All right, so we're going to start with, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Then I'm going to kind of go off on a tangent. But it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. In other words, this is how you should pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And then the two verses I want to speak about. Right after the prayer, it says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, I'm going to keep reading, you know, spirit on it now. Moreover, when you fast, be not hypocrites. Be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto man to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. All right, we're just going to stop right there. So, the main idea here is forgiveness, right? We're going over the whole prayer. Obviously, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's telling them, previously in the script, in the this chapter, about how the hypocrites do, how they are repetitive, they try to pray out loud and yell and be repetitive, using a lot of words, just being very vain, right? And then in this prayer, what he breaks down is, I mean, there's so much meat in this. I mean, it's there's so much meat in here that digest that. I mean, you can go on for hours and hours, line by line, right? But what he's breaking down here is humbling yourself before the Lord and asking forgiveness, right? And clearly saying, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as script says. So what I want to speak about is the idea and how I hear individuals and people in church, out of church, saved or whatever, or people that grew up in church that have, at least in their idea, a great understanding of scripture, say how they can do whatever and it's covered by the blood. They can just ask the Lord for forgiveness. Well, according to the scripture here, it clearly says, give your debtors or forgive people that trespass against you, then the Lord will he'll forgive you the same way that you forgive others, pretty much, right? So what is the gist of it is this: if you don't forgive others, if you're not receptive to people that when they give you apologies, how do you think the Lord is gonna look upon your issue when you come into prayer, whenever you're asking, you know, for whatever, right? You got stuff being held against you because you're holding stuff against other people. You see how that works? It's like if you tell your kid, like I have a son and a daughter, right? My son's the oldest. If I tell my son that I give him, I let him get a cake if he let his sister get some of his candy, right? Then it's contingent. It's based off the idea that if you do, or the way you treat X, then you'll get Y, right? And it's on the surface understanding, it's just talking about forgiveness. But it goes so much deeper than that. It's how you know how I say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Like, treat people how you want to be treated. Scripture is pretty much saying the exact same thing here. If you want to be forgiven for your trespasses, or for your sins, or for your debts, or for your wrongdoing, then you got to forgive others. There's another place in the scripture where it talks about the master and the servant. And whenever the servant has somebody that owed them money, and they were hard on them, so whenever it was they would have the shoes on the other foot, they were treated that harshly. You see what I'm saying? So the truth of the matter is, being a believer, or being saved, or being a quote unquote good person, because I mean in the flesh, son of a sword, but the idea is simply based off of how you treat others is a reflection of how you are. You know, you will know a tree by its fruit. Your fruit is how do you do unto others? How are you acting outside of what are you saying or professing to the world or to God, saying, yeah, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm covered by the blood. Well, what are your actions show? If you are saved, if you are covered by the blood, if you are a believer, you are Holy Ghost filled, you are changed, you are redeemed, then your actions would show it. Many people say, oh, but you know, it's not works, it's by faith. Well, your faith is proven by your works. It's scriptural. Your faith is proven. You have to step your game up in a sense to where your actions match up with what you say. You know what I mean? Your actions must line up with your belief system. Your actions must line up with the person you believe you are, or the God you believe you serve. Then your actions must reflect that. So I know pretty much all my other podcasts, we break down, we're talking about business, we're talking about mindset, we're talking about, you know, encouragement and growth. But I really wanted to stop for a second and give you a little bit of word, because the root of me, of my story, of where I come from, and, you know, how I got to where I am, is really based off the fact that I was in a situation where I had to find God, and I found him, and I wanted to make a difference in my life for my kids. At that time, my wife, she was pregnant with our son, and I said, shoot, if I'm going to be a dad, I got to step my game up. And my dad was pretty good, but he was not perfect. And if I'm going to be a father, I wanted to follow after the greatest father ever, you know, our holy, you know, our holy, our heavenly father. So that's where I got my foundation, my roots. And truth be told, the majority of personal development that you get is from online, from courses, from books. It can be backed, you know, going back to the source and where that person got it from, or that person got their information from. It goes back to scripture, man. And if you use scripture to better you, instead of using scripture to point fingers at other people, you will actually grow. You will actually develop into a better human being. I was actually, I posted a couple pictures on my Instagram and my Facebook. Links below if you want to follow either one. But I posted some pictures from my high school yearbook, because my wife was doing a little studying and reading, and she needed something to write on to take some notes. And she pulled out my yearbook, and I looked at it. I got a birthday coming up next month, be 34. And I'm in 11th grade, so that's like 16, 17. I was like, wow. So I'm looking at pictures. I'm like, yo, that was literally half my life ago. You know what I mean? It was 17 years ago, you know. And I'm looking at these pictures, and I'm like, wow. I've really grown. Like, if I sat down with me and if I sat down with me from 2003 now and we had a conversation, it would be crazy. We're not even the same person. You know, I was talking to my wife earlier today about the idea, because a few years ago I had this, I would say it's profound, but it's really not. This feeling that, yo, I have lived several lifetimes, not in the sense of reincarnation, but like in my life, these 34 years that I've been alive, I feel that I've lived different lives. I have been different people. Now that sounds crazy or kooky to most people, because you're like, what the hell does that even mean? But if you think about it, from the time that you're born, birth, to 5 years old, the development, the mindset, how you see the world, how you see society, how do you see how big the universe or the world is at that point, right? Matter of fact, go back further than that. The trimesters, the 9 months that you were in your mother's womb, that was your existence. That was all that you knew. And then whenever you're birthed into this world, that's another life. You know, you die to the past and now you have a new life, right? So now you're in the, I would say the physical realm, but you were in the physical realm at that point as well. But your birth, you're outside of your mother's womb, that world of protection. And now you're in the world on earth, right? And now you have to develop, you're protected, you have to be covered, you have to be sheltered, you have to be clothed, you have to be taught, you have to be all these things so that you can get to a point to where you can fend for yourself. And I'm going to just say at 5 years old, right? Now you're 5 years old, and guess what? You're still pretty much helpless, right? But at this point, you think you got it figured out. You know what I mean? As a child, you think you got this thing kind of figured out. But then there's this next growth period between, let's say, 5 to like 12 or 11, right? To where you grow and you develop again. Now it's like, now you're in school. You know, you got the kindergarten, you got first grade, second grade, third grade. You've learned math, you're reading, you're science and history. Now you're growing and you're expanding. You have personality. You created friends. You created relationships. You're playing sports. You're getting into extracurricular activities. And now you're getting ready to get into this realm of puberty. And now it's a new life again. It's a completely different world again. And now you have to distinguish the growth, the patterns, these feelings, these emotions, this what's going on with my body, my voice is changing, I'm getting taller, you know, and now it's a new growth, a new development, a new stage. And now let's say you're now at 18, now you're out of high school, I'm grown, I'm an adult, but really you're still a kid, you're still developing, you're still growing. And from 18 to 20, let's say 25, 26, it's another life. It's another lifetime. You're starting to get your own ideas about society and where you stand, what you believe in, separate from what your parents, you know, how you were raised or whatever. And you're starting to develop and see the world outside of the scope of the world that you lived before. And now you're evolving. You're growing. You're at a new level. You're at a new place. And then, you know, where I'm at now, where between the 20, let's say 27 to 35 or, you know, or so on, now you're reflecting back and you're in a new place. Same things that you did when you were 17 that you're not into, or you've expounded upon, or the things that you were doing at 20 you're not into, or you don't do, or you develop, you grew past it, you developed, you're better, you're stronger, your experience, the life that you live, the life that we have, most of us, you know, we have this idea that we only live once, or we only have one life to live. And that's true, but it's also false. You have a life to live, a new opportunity every day. Every day. To grow, to develop, to learn. And you can become whatever you want to be. Not in some esoteric, freaked out way, but truly, you can learn whatever. You can be whomever. You can have whatever if you're willing to put forth the effort, the work, the time. And when you have a well-rooted foundation, you know, be it religion or spirituality or scripture or just love or caring or what have you, you can have your own creed, you know, your own foundation to where you can stand on. And of course, things change and you're developing, you learn or you dig deeper, and you might reveal certain truths that may help you develop even more, go even further, or become even greater. But the truth is, with life, as long as you're here, as long as you're growing, as long as you're living, it's an opportunity to be more, to be better. And my plea for you, for us all, for people, for humanity, is for us to treat people, forgive, to love, to express care for one another on a level that we are cared for, that we want to be cared for. Because in life, all you have is, all that you can control is how you react to what's going on. You know, you can control the way you react and how you see, your perspective. You can control your perspective. You can't control what happens around you, but you can control your perspective. And when you have a paradigm shift in perspective, you don't have to be a thermometer to where you react to the outside world, but you can be a thermostat to where you can actually control the outside world. And you may be wondering, how in the heck can you do that? But the truth is, when your paradigm shifts, you can control your world. Yes, we all live on Earth. We all live on this world. But we all have our own world. You know, yours may consist of your family and your responsibilities, your bills, and so forth and so on. Your bills, your responsibility, your household means absolutely nothing to mine, right? And the same, you know, it's the same, you know. What's important to one person isn't important to another, but your world. Think about it. If you're like Conor McGregor, like, his world is different than yours. Yes, we live in the same world, but his world, what's important to him, where his focus lies, what's important to him, his habits, his routine, it's different. And when you have that, you can control it. You can control the majority of your life. Obviously, there's some things that you're going to run into that you can't quite control, but you have an influence in which you can control. So, long story short, kind of went off on a tangent, but the truth is, forgiveness, you know, a lot of people think they saved me. The Lord forgive me. But you got to forgive others if you want God to forgive you. So forgive. Love 100. Love on 100. Love with your all. Learn, develop, grow. Give more. Just give more. And you will receive even more. You know what I mean? It sounds crazy as hell, but the more energy you give out to the world and freely, the more that you'll actually receive. So, you know, that's pretty much it. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Like I said, follow me on social media. If you want to just link up, you want to, you know, laugh, chat it up. Have any questions, social media, Calvin Like My Way on Facebook. It's Calvin Like My Way on Instagram. It's Calvin Like My Way on everything. also, if I have a ebook that you can actually get for free. Link in the description, the bio. Check it out. Head, Heart, and Hands. Head, Heart, and Hands gives you the insights, the tools that you need to make your dreams a reality, to get your goals, your dreams, the life that you desire for yourself out of your head and into your hands. Gives you step-by-step processes so you can have whatever it is that you want. So if that's something that you're interested in, make sure you find the link, look at the link. If you can't find the link, go to my social media. Follow me. It'll be in the description there. Get connected. Get the ebook. And hey, live the life that you choose to live. Live your life by your own desire, your own design, and not by somebody else's. Because that's something that I learned a long time ago. If you don't make a plan for you, you'll be a part of someone else's. And you don't want that. Because trust me, they're not planning for you. They're planning what they can get from you. So, till next time, stay encouraged, stay positive, productive. Know God loves you, and so do I. Till next time, lights out. Cha-cha. You already know.